Coming up is a New Realities interview with James Gilliland from the East Seti Ranch that happened this summer of 2017. Stay tuned right after the song Night Before the Future by Duke Williams and the Extremes.
Take it away, or did you think you better off staying in bed and not doing a thing but relaxing your head? Just remember, the things you see might not quite be your own reality. The dimensions exist within the inner, and then you know you're just a beginner. Because life just starts, and when it ends, turns around and then it bends.
Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and I'm so happy to be out here in the wilderness of southern Washington at the base of Mount Adams with my good friend James Gilliland. You've created an amazing paradise here. If you want to see UFOs, if you want to have experiences, East Seti Ranch, right where we are now, is where you got to go. So, James, let's talk about this field of dreams out here in front of the mountain. It really is a field of dreams, right?
Yeah, yeah. We have a joke here when I first started building the place, you know, that, you know, they say if you build it, they will come, you know. And we used to say that what they really said is if you build it, you are dumb, you know, because the first few years I was out here all by myself working, you know, building this thing. But now it's an internationally known place, and people from all over the world come here to see the ships and experience the higher consciousness and energy here. It's a vortex.
You have a vision? You bought 70 acres here.
Yeah.
So what happened? How did you come to this place, and what directed you?
I was in Santa Cruz, California, and after the near-death experience I had, I was studying with lamas and yogis and doing every process-oriented therapy you could think of. But I kept having these visions, and I kept seeing the mountain behind me, and then I saw the river, and I kept seeing the words little mountain.
You didn't know what mountain that was.
No,
you just saw
it. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I kept seeing the word little mountain, and it didn't make sense to me at all, because why would I see the words little mountain? And it turns out that we're on Little Mountain Road.
You saw a big mountain, but you saw the words
little mountain. Yeah, and it made no sense at the time, and now I understand
How did you find this place then?
I took a map of the United States, and I used a pendulum, and I just divined the map, and my hand got really hot over this area.
Wow.
And I marked it. But what's funny is I threw the map away. I forgot about it, and I threw it in the closet, and I ended up here anyway through a lot of synchronistic events.
So you've been directed to be and as its caretaker.
Yeah, it was so strong. The direction was so strong, I couldn't miss it. You know, it was like...
Wow. So also, now that you've been here, what, how many years?
30 years.
30 years, and it is a beautiful center. Come down here if you're in the area, or even if you're not in the area, people come from all over the world to have experiences. So you're the caretaker, so you're getting downloads, but you're also directing kind of etheric traffic out there, would you say?
Yeah. Well, the land here is where two major ley lines cross, and so... When we have the infrared out here, the spotlight with the night vision, and you can see the highway. You can see the orb highway as they come down the ley lines.
Wow.
And but it's a really high energy place. It's a place where the veils are very thin between worlds. Mm-hmm. And so there's not just one thing going on, and people will probably go, you're going to lose credibility by saying that, but the nature kingdom is here. You can actually experience the fairies and all that stuff. We actually have photographs of them. We have ascended masters appearing here with a beautiful photograph of Mary and Kuan Yin. And
right here in this field.
Yeah, yeah, right here in this field, appearing in this field.
Amazing.
And you know, we have the witnesses that actually took the photographs, and a Taoist monk that was here, and he photographed a lot of the masters appearing here.
And you also have Bigfoot appearing here.
Yeah, yeah, we have a Bigfoot family, and a young one named Delaki that comes around
really?
And terrorizes people in a nice way. He just has fun with people. He ran right up to Clyde Lewis with Ground Zero. Yeah, and turned his world upside down. He ran right up to him and skidded and stopped and smiled at him and then took and ran off.
Really? And Clyde was just freaked out.
Yeah, yeah. But he talks about it. He finally talked. When I showed him the prints and everything, he started talking about it.
Mm. But, you know, besides this, I mean, you've seen some amazing stuff. Talk about some of the things you've seen in the sky, some of the ships, because this is like a UFO landing pad in a way.
Well, we've got footage, undeniable footage of like half treetop level of ships, big light ships coming in, powering up, whiting out the whole screen.
Right.
Every color ship. We've got purple, green, blue, pink, every color ship you can think of, and every size, like... giant cylinder ships and triangle ships and just about everything.
Well, last night I saw the doorway open in the mountain there. In the middle of that mountain, there was a light. And because there's no roads up that mountain.
No, no.
And somewhere in the middle of that mountain, there was this light shine. Did you see that? There's this door. And is that a doorway for the... I saw a couple of lights heading towards the mountain, too.
Yeah, it's a doorway to the inner Earth, and there's a base there, and it's like a... intergalactic airport going on there, and the door opens and ships come in and out of it. And if you go up to that area, you'll see a big lava face, but the lava's been swirled by some kind of a G-force, and that's where they come in and out of the mountain.
But, you know, I think your most important work is the sort of as a visionary, telling people what you see, what is to come, what's happening on the Earth plane. What have you been getting lately as downloads about this time we're in now?
Well, we're in the like times of chaos right now, but chaos isn't a bad thing. It's actually a good thing because the energy that's coming in right now is off the scale. I mean, and you can go to NASA, the cosmic rays, the gamma rays, the UV rays, everything. The sun is like blasting us one hit after another with CMEs and solar flares. Mm-hmm. So that's bringing everything up. Our bioelectric fields around our body is where we store a lot of information, a lot of old wounds and traumas, and you know, it's creating emotional outbursts, and it's part of the healing process. So
to let this stuff out.
So when people go, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and I said the world was already in hell in a handbasket, and it's surfacing now to be healed.
Exactly.
So we're seeing it come up now to be healed. You know.
Right. No, what I get is that this whole we're in a shift. I mean, everyone says that consciousness and who we're becoming as human beings is changing. We're becoming galactics. We're becoming connected to the stars. So you're getting downloads about that from different types, races.
Yeah.
What are you getting from these, the lion people and the Pleiades? And the,
what's happening is the Earth is ascending. She has her process and she's ascending. And we have to become frequency specific to that process or we won't be able to stay here.
Right.
And these other beings are coming in to help us with this process. And there's beings like these lion beings. They were the protectors of the gods, and they've returned to clean up the mess, the fallen Anunnaki, a lot of the reptilian greys and things like that. They're here to clean that up, the ones that aren't benevolent, that are acting in a malevolent nature.
Do you feel like we've been sealed off from those negative ETs at this point?
Well, it's a process. They can't leave. A lot of them are being taken out. We've been sealed off because they don't want that. They don't want them to just take off and go mess up the rest of the universe.
Right.
And we're like this outermost corner of the Milky Way. We're out in the boondocks, and it's one of the last places for the cleanup to happen. And, you know, this goes all the way back to the wars in Orion, you know, the where the reptilians were, you know, fighting with the Orion Council of Light and the Pleiadians and all those guys and Andromeda. And so it's just a huge cleanup. It's like the source itself has said, we're done. Mm-hmm. You know, we're finished. There's not anything else to learn here with these dark forces, and it's time for them to go away and let things move, you know, to the next level.
So this is really a change in eras, in epochs, in human destiny.
Exactly.
And so what do you see as the future coming now? How does the planet look in 20 years and...
Well, I've seen some really awesome things, and mainly it's due to a lot of divine intervention and a lot of the higher dimensional beings coming in and assisting. They have the technology to clean up the planet and everything else. And there's a lot of people that are going, oh, they're all demons, and they're preaching fear and a lot of religious programming. You know, that needs to go, because without these beings right now, I mean, look at what our programming has got us. You know, look at where we're at now. People go, they're going to come and they're going to destroy us and enslave us. The planet's already being destroyed. We're already enslaved.
Exactly.
You know, it's like there's nowhere to go but up. Exactly. You know, so, and these beings don't need us for anything. They're in full service mode. They're extremely advanced. They can materialize anything they want. And they're coming in to help us now. And we need to get, you know, transcend all the fear, the cultural and religious programming, and, and get back into the heart. And that's what even the teachers of Jesus were all about, you know, about an all-forgiving and all-loving God, you know, and getting back into the heart. And that's where we need to get back to.
So what can we do practically? I mean, it's, I mean, I don't think people even know how to get back into the heart. But so what, give us some practical.
Well, the main thing is that, you know, we have all these different aspects of ourselves, and in the mental body, the intellect, you might say, and the emotional body, even the astral body, there's all these wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences. And we need to clean that up and heal that and clear that out and get in touch with our true selves, which is, you know, at the core of everybody's being is this loving, joyous, powerful, manifesting God or goddess, created in the same image and likeness of the source, you know. So we need to get rid of this other crap that's layered upon layer.
How do we get rid of that junk?
Yeah. Well, basically, this energy coming in is going to help us with that. And it's going to push everything up for us to look at. The main thing right now is called personal responsibility and being accountable.
Right.
And not projecting and blaming, going inward and owning our emotions, you know. A lot of people that aren't very evolved, you might say, are doing these emotional outbursts. They're doing the polarity game, the separation game. They're being programmed by some very dark forces to keep the separation game going. You know, it doesn't matter what color you are, you know, what culture you are, what belief you are. We all, on a soul level, we're all connected to the source. We all came from the source. And we need to stop identifying with, you know, the cultural and religious programs and everything else, because that's where our problems come from. And I'm saying, don't, you know, I'm part Native American, you know, I honor the Native American side, and then I have a Scotch-Irish side too as well. But I see in that, it's like I respect the cultural history of both sides of all cultures. I respect it. But if we're going to get into unity consciousness, which is what the ninth wave of the Mayans talk about that's coming through right now, we have to transcend that and get into more of a universal, you know, honor the universal law, which is basically universal peace and brother sister love and individual freedom and prosperity for everybody. That's the natural law that we need to get back to.
Well, that's why all these systems are collapsing.
Exactly.
Political, economic, even the whole idea of country state. This is my country. And you know, this is.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about there's a series of steps, like. Open borders, I don't believe in. Not right now. Open borders, there's a lot of history and on both sides. I mean, you think about, how is a terrorist created? Okay, when you bomb a country into oblivion and you destroy their families and everything else, sure, you're going to have terrorists.
Yeah,
that happens.
Make them happy.
Yeah. And they're not happy campers, basically. Yeah. And they have a right to that. And there needs to be some major apologies and shifts and reconciliation for that. But two, we can't just continue bombing and terrorizing either. That goes against universal law as well. So it's a weeding out process where we need to weed out the people that are capitalizing on, you know, the war and the suffering and disease, the disease profiteers. We need to kind of get rid of these guys and get back on track. And you know, there's an old Cherokee saying, you know, if it isn't good for everyone, it isn't good
for anyone.
It's really simple, and we need to get back to that and think about the next generation.
So what are those steps you think we have to take?
Well, I think, first of all, there needs to be kind of a truth and reconciliation panel. And it can't have any interest, you know, any vested interest in anything. They have to just be... I've always said we need to be governed by a council of grandmothers, you know, because grandmothers don't send their kids to war, you know, and they know the importance of families, and a lot of them like to garden and they love nature and things. And that's, we really need to get back to that. You know, I think that would be a step in the right direction. And we're working towards that right now is putting a group of very powerful women together and they're going to cover these issues. and bring the divine feminine concept into these issues and
that's what we need.
And broadcast that on a very large level. So we're working on that right now.
We need the return of the feminine to balance the
old patriarchal program that's been going on.
But as a balance, you know.
Yeah.
You know there was.
Yeah, it's one of the things is women think they're going to regain their power by becoming men.
Right.
Men already screwed everything up. That's not going to happen.
That was the problem with the women's movement. Yeah. I think it was great, but still.
The divine feminine is so powerful that the love and the nurturing energy from that goddess energy is so powerful. Why would you give that up to be a man operating from your intellect, absent from your heart? It makes no sense whatsoever, but that's the programming that's been happening here.
I see now a lot of women coming forward in that divine feminine essence and sharing from that level, which is balancing that overbearing.
Well, I know a lot of women right now that are still in the heart. They're speaking from the heart. Mm-hmm. They're fearless. They say what needs to be said in the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need as an example, not a wounded woman up there condemning all men and condemning.
Right, all those wounded men that are
obsessed
with power. That's wounding as well. We need to come, the divine masculine and the divine feminine. You know, I think it's the Cherokee that say a bird can't fly with only one wing.
Yeah,
you know?
So
you need both these wings. So
well, that's the problem with the right wing and the left wing. They're attached to the same bird. And so when we figure that one out, we stop doing the division game. You know, it's just a game. But
well, you've created a sort of paradise here, though, where people, I mean, the land itself feels so good.
Yeah.
It like embraces you. And I haven't felt that in many places.
It's very balanced here and very anchored. We really anchor in that. We really support the divine feminine. And what I've seen is that the old patriarchal program's not frequency specific to the evolution of Earth. And, you know, Gaia is feminine, you know. Mm. And that's where things are going. But you can't stop this process. It's so immense. There's 13th dimensional beings behind this process.
13th dimension.
And they're bringing their consciousness in right now. And the other beings are waiting for this event. It just happened. So things are going to shift, and they're going to shift very quick. And so there will be some chaos. We have to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. But during the chaos, we have to learn to hold space, to focus on our inner core and who we really are. And release the past. That's what the Pleiadians say. We need to release the past. The old wounds and traumas are creating our tomorrow.
Right.
And unless we clear this out, we're going to keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Do you have like a channeling you want to bring through? Any connection?
I just did.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, no, I don't have to. I have a direct feed, so I don't have to.
Right. Yeah. No, I really appreciate that. And so let's say if all this comes down in a good way, how do you see the Earth being in 10, 20, 30 years?
Well, I mean, very shortly now, things are going to happen. It's in the works. I mean, I'm having conversations with like the Jade Emperor and the Grandfather and the signatory of the gold and all that stuff. And there's an old saying that he who owns the gold makes the rules, the golden rule, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, the guys that own the gold right now are benevolent, and they're here to release it for humanitarian funds. And they've had Kuan Yin appear to them and all these other. They know that they have to do this. And so it's going to shift, and the alternative healing and the free energy, all that stuff is going to be coming out really quick.
Right.
And it's like it's bottled up, and it's like a pressure cooker. It's just being energized, and it's all going to go boom and blow up, and it's all going to come out, and it's already coming out.
And I think we will live in a paradise that we've dreamed of. Imagine free energy.
Yeah.
And imagine the abundance. And people can then take their true place as incarnational beings.
Yeah.
And not have to be enslaved to the system in order to survive.
Yeah, and we're in that apocalypse time right now, which means the great uncovering. That's all. It doesn't mean everything gets destroyed, but it means no rock is left unturned. Everything is going to be seen for what it is. And that's the problem. That's why we're having the chaos, is because it's the adjustment period.
Mm.
This stuff has to come up. It has to be recognized. We all have a little bit of stuff in ourselves, some more than others.
We all have to work.
Yeah, and we all have to do our work. And what I find right now is we have to just be totally brutally honest with ourselves, you know, okay, is what I'm doing in the highest and best good of humanity, the Earth? Is this of service?
Every moment we have to ask
ourselves
that. Am I doing this as this interaction with this person?
Yeah.
impeccable.
Is this going against universal law? Is it impeding somebody else's freedom? Right. And is it suppressing their own abundance? Like, we need to really look at that, you know, and shift. Because I think we're going to be moving into a time real shortly where money's not going to be such a problem. It's going to be a level playing field. Mm-hmm. And eventually we won't have money. Because most advanced civilizations don't even use money because... But we're so programmed. It's like you tell people, you know, you can run your car on water. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, I don't believe that. And I said, you know, you don't even need tires. And they go, I don't believe that. And I go, there's anti-gravity and counter-gravity out there. We have that technology. Yeah. I said, not only do you not need tires, you could take your car and go to Australia and have breakfast and go to Japan and have dinner and everything else. We have that technology on the planet right now. Mm-hmm. It's hard to break that old programming of, you know, I got to get into my gas belching car and drive with 1 million other people on a little road and fight to get there. You know, it's like that old programming is has to go, you know.
Yeah, and I think the shift in consciousness is, and the children being born now are awakening to see that, yes, the old way is not necessary.
Yeah, and I think one of the key things is internal versus external. We are so programmed that our love and joy and happiness comes from external means, from meeting the right woman, drinking the right beer, driving the right car, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's so ingrained in us, and we have to go inward. And just really love and accept and approve of ourselves. Stop looking outside of yourself. And that's where the real joy comes from. And that's when you're free.
Right. I mean, that goes along with the whole quantum shift we're moving into. There is no real objective reality. There's really nothing outside of our own projection of our mind. So it really starts with ourselves. And if we think that there's something out there that's going to make us happy, then we're living in another person's reality as opposed to creating our own reality.
Yeah, and I mean, people say, what's the future going to be? And I tell people, well, there's 8 billion souls here all creating their own realities, you know?
Exactly.
So it depends on who you're talking to and where they're going to magnetize people and events to them or where they're going to be during these shifts. And and the same thing, too, is about, what were you saying? I can't remember, you were saying something earlier that
the objective,
triggered...
the quantum realities, the objective realities.
Yeah, it's important to realize that, is that when you're tuned in to your soul will protect you. It'll tell you where to go, what to do. I do that. I've never hit a deer here, you know. It's like everybody's totaled their cars out, you know. And I go, I feel the deer. I feel ahead. I feel ahead of what's in front of me. And I miss things all the time. And when you're operating from your soul, you have a heads up on the future.
Right.
And so you just move with it. You prepare for it. And people say, well, you got to stay in the moment. Well, when you're fully in the moment, you're aware of the future and the past.
That's right.
So you can't deny the future or the past. Mm-hmm. And you get into creationary mind versus reactionary mind, where you're creating your tomorrow.
Where we're moving into as a culture, as a society, living from the soul presence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the beauty of what you're doing here. You're drawing people to you who live in that frequency.
You have people come here and just have meltdowns, and they connect with the energy here. And some do really well, and they just really light up and are great. And some run, you know, because they're not ready yet. And it's really okay. You're loved either way, you know. But it's up to us. You know, we can either go like this, or we can go, okay, let me have it. And
So come down to ESETI and... go like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything you want to say about the upcoming eclipse?
It's a major shift. I think Mars and the Sun in Leo, and the Moon is some. I can't remember the alignment, but it's a real. It's like a Lion's Gate. We just had the 8-8 Lion's Gate. Well, this is a real energy that's going to come in. That's going to people are going to embrace their own inner lion. You know, their own courage, their own. And it's a time where a lot of stuff is going to come up that we're going to have to look at. And so there's going to be, you know, some chaos with this. But again, don't get into fear. Just realize it's a process. And the main thing, what I'm saying is, when we talked about the two birds, the right wing and the left wing, there's other beings orchestrating this separation game. And we need to look at that and come together and realize that rather than the first step is realizing we have a common enemy, and that's running the show and is creating all the separation and the diversion. The next step is even transcending that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a series of steps. But we have to realize, you know, it's like this, you know, Black Lives Matter, all lives matter.
Right.
You know what I mean? Let's go universal here. You know, it's like You know, I can go on and on. Yes, there's been a lot of suppression. The divine feminine has been extremely suppressed in the past. I mean, mm-hmm. when you used to sack a village, you know, you'd steal the gold and the women, and then you'd trade them as cattle, you know. And the satraps of old used to, you know, they'd grab a girl that was 12 years old and toss out mm-hmm. the older woman. So that cellular memory is why the insecurity, that's where that comes from. So we have to embrace that, heal that, release the past. And the same with men. Men are fed up with having to go out and bring home the bacon and go to wars and do all this other stuff. They're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want all this responsibility anymore. I want to spend more time at home, you know. And so there's a balance where it's coming together. And that's what we need to do is really go within, you know, come from the heart and get really clear about our own unique soul purpose, because mm-hmm. we're all unique here, and just be authentic. It's really important to be authentic.
No, I like what you're saying. The old programs are being shed, flushed out of us. And as we see these programs come up in our own selves, we have to be present with them. Mm-hmm. What does Sylvia say about that? What do you say when the programs come up, the negative programs? You say... Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you for the anger.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so as the negative programs come up, embrace them, welcome them, don't engage them, mm-hmm. and then they'll pass through you.
Yeah, you know, once you gain the wisdom from the experience, it settles into the soul and you're done with it.
Right.
But until you do that, it has a charge.
Yeah.
And it's going to keep coming around again and again, and you're magnetized the same people and events to you until you own it, until mm-hmm. you heal it. And get out of this victim mode, because there's a victim, savior, persecutor triangle that's spinning right now. Right. And we're all jumping on this roller coaster or this merry-go-round, you know, and we need to step back and pull back and go, okay, what is it in me that's attracting this? You know, what is this reflecting to me? Why am I charged about this? Where's this charge coming? And follow it back and get rid and clear it, you know, heal it.
And then if everyone can do that, including me.
Except for me, I'm perfect, you know. No, just kidding.
We're all perfect in our way.
little spiritual bad humor there.
But, you know, we are, as we work on this evolution, that's when the planet does change. And it is changing.
Oh, yeah.
We are embracing our dark sides.
Yeah, all this stuff. It's like the... You know, we need to look at what's fueling these things, you know, who's funding these things. And we really need to look at who's funding the separation games and track it down. And a lot of people, they're using your own anger against you. And that's kind of sad, because they're using our own wounds and our own traumas and our own anger against us. Mm-hmm. They're fueling it, funding it, and trying to create as much chaos and division as possible, mm-hmm. because they have overlords that feed on this stuff when you get into the other dimensions.
Energies,
you know,
so we have a question from the audience here. Yeah.
I got a question. How do you see our near future?
Basically, the very near future, I see there's a lot of huge changes on every level happening. You know, like, you know, everything financially, socially, even some earth changes coming. And that is part of a process, and it's a good thing. And we need to pay attention and flow with it. And it's, you know, it's a necessary thing. So you're going to see a lot of chaos, but as soon as the chaos comes up, it's going to get like addressed and dealt with very quickly. And that's what I'm seeing, like a lot of these terrorist things, a lot of the white supremacist things and everything else. Hate is hate, period. It doesn't matter what color you are. Mm-hmm. You know, hate is hate. You know, it doesn't function. It's not aligned with universal law. Do you have you know, you have to acknowledge that a lot of these people have a reason for it.
Yeah.
You know, but are we going to keep feeding it? Like, I love that Cherokee saying where they said there's two wolves. And they're fighting, the dark wolf and the white wolf, and they're fighting. And the kid asks the grandfather, you know, which wolf is going to win, grandfather? And he says, the one you feed.
Right.
You know, so somewhere we have to break the chain and stop passing the potato. And it's within every culture. It means we don't, you know, it's like, not to get religious, but there's an old saying, being a Christ doesn't mean being a doormat, you know. And so we don't... You know, we have to address things. We have to stand in our own divinity and address things as they come up. But you know, measure them by universal law. And does this fit within universal law? You know, am I being kind to my fellow man and woman and to the planet? You know, it's very simple. And we just have to constantly catch ourselves and just say, okay, I'm feeling this anger and this stuff. Okay, my next act, is it going to fit within universal law, or am I going to go in within and heal that? Am I going to perpetuate it and amplify it and trigger everybody else's anger, or am I going to go within and heal it? And when I heal it, I'm actually healing others, because it's all connected.
You know, and we heal our lineage as well.
Exactly.
And the future. So thank you. But thank you for your time here.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate your work, your experiences at Contact in the Desert, your meditations, and what you're offering the planet as a sanctuary to another dimension.
Really. Yeah, exactly.
So here I am at East SETI Ranch. It's in Trout Lake, Washington. Look it up, eastseti.com, right? Mm-hmm. And come on down and share in this doorway into creating a new mind.
Yeah, it's eSETI.org. So,
And come down. They have amazing events every year, every summer, lots of beautiful people and lots of great communities that are around here.
Yeah, and I tell people, don't believe what we're saying. Come experience it yourself.
You will experience it. Yeah. I mean, I saw that doorway open in the mountain last night.
And the ships.
There's stuff happening on this planet you're not going to read about in the newspapers.
No.
So come down and experience it.
Exactly.
Thank you, James.
All right. Thank you for having me.
I always appreciate hanging out with you when you're welcome. This is New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld. Check my website, newrealities.com. Go to YouTube, youtube.com/newrealities, and see all the latest issues. In Roswell when they crashed, the time warped the space. I'm very happy to be here with Jerry Sargent, who has a fantastic story of awakening, empowerment, and transformation. So stay tuned. Masters of life, living television. Jerry Sargent, you have you probably have the most dramatic story of awakening I've ever heard. You were a criminal, you want to share some of that, but then in a second, something happened. Can you share a little bit of that?
Yeah, sure. So, I was a criminal. I used to smuggle drugs. I used to smuggle guns. And it was a roller coaster of a lifestyle. I loved every second of it.
You loved it?
I loved it.
But wasn't it full of adrenaline and fear? Like in every moment you were going
to get
caught?
Any different. You know, from a kid, I grew up from 15 years old. I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. So my life spiraled out of control.
Right.
So I never really had a normal kind of college education, job, all of that stuff. I had a couple of jobs, but they didn't last very long.
But it's so dangerous smuggling drugs. I mean, you could have been.
But when you're in your late teens and early 20s,
yeah,
and you're earning, you know, loads of money, uh-huh, you don't really care about those things. I never really saw the danger. I thought any danger that came into my life was exciting.
So you know? But what happened then? There was a moment where, boom, your life changed.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't believe in anything spiritual, you know, anything esoteric, like God, universe, infinite intelligence, whatever you want to call it. I thought it was a load of baloney.
Yeah.
But I was involved in a car crash with my ex-wife and children. We were traveling to Bucharest Airport in Romania, and I was asleep, and the taxi ran three ladies over. The first one came through the windscreen, smashed me in the face. I didn't realize because I was asleep, but this is what happened. The lady flew up over the car, landed 100 or so meters up the road. She died. The second lady had her ankles cut off. Third lady was physically okay. When I got out of the car, I walked up the road, saw the lady with her ankles cut off, walked past her, and then I was fixated on what looked like this dead body. And I saw the lady's soul leave her body. And up until that point in my life, I'd never seen energy.
What did you see, actually?
I saw like the outline of, it was like a transparent human being, but it was a being that was like, I saw arms, I saw legs, I saw this kind of like blended, phasing in and out of reality, kind of like substance, which I'd never seen anything like.
What did you think when you saw that?
I was like, what is that? I was curious. I wanted to just get near it. I wanted to find out what it was. And it waited for me to get kind of maybe within 3 or 4 meters, and then it fizzled off into the ether and disappeared. So I'm looking down at this lady's body, her legs are wrapped up over her head, and it looked like someone had just taken an old car to the scrap heap. Like this soul no longer had any use for the body, so boom, it's gone on its merry way. And I saw the complete separation between physicalness and energy. in that moment. And I remember looking up to the heavens, thinking I want a whiskey and a cigarette, and saying thank you. I didn't smoke, but it felt like
you were here.
Yeah, like a monumental moment that it felt to me like this lady had sacrificed herself to get me on the right path.
Wow!
All in that moment.
Well, and so from there, did you give up the drugs and smuggling?
Not straight away. It was a kind of a winding off period.
Right.
So, I mean, that happened, and then...
Now, I just want to say, he is so far out, you know, taking people interdimensionally to other planets. Incredible stuff from your work. So it was slowly, gradually, and...
Yeah, it was... I mean, what actually happened is... there was a number of experiences that happened. I mean, I came face to face with a reptilian in human form that shape-shifted in front of me.
Was that shocking? Did that put fear in you?
It put a little bit of fear into me. I was trying to keep ice cold on the outside, but on the inside I was burning up thinking, what is going on, man?
Because you had no fear with the drugs and then you probably encountered some pretty heavy
I just kind of take things in my stride.
Right.
You know, I don't really get fazed by much. So
when you met the reptilian, that kind of fazed you a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. You know, on the inside I was a little bit like, what is going on, man? This whole reality that I thought was real is completely different. I've just seen an actual lizard. I've seen a human being, a man, change to a lizard and then change back again. And I wasn't seeing this with my mind's eye. This was with my eyes. It was physical. This was like, you know, straight in front of me. Uh-huh. So that happened.
When did you really start open up to healing work? Because you're doing great.
Well, 6 months after the accident, my wife had a headache. And I thought to myself, I can take it out of your head. I don't know why I thought that, but I did. So I've gone over to her. She was lying on the bed. I saw the headache. It was green. I've just grabbed it and I've pulled it out of her head. And I'm thinking, that's a little bit weird. But again, I just carried on, just took it in my stride. And then the real thing for me was we moved to New Zealand a little while after. And a friend of mine, she was in a really bad car accident. And the gear stick had gone through a leg, her ribs were smashed up. The doctors had said, you may never walk again. You could be in hospital for at least a year. And her partner phoned up and asked if I could help. And I thought, well, how am I going to help? I'm in New Zealand, you're in England. Mm-hmm. That's what my ego was telling me.
Right.
But my intuition was saying, just go and lie on the bed, Jerry, and get your crystals. Mm-hmm. So I got some crystals, put them on my energy centers, went and laid down on the bed.
You're in England, she's in New Zealand.
I was in New Zealand, okay. She was in England.
Okay.
All of a sudden, I was in a hospital room, and all this light started pouring out of my hands. And I started putting her body back together. Mm-hmm. And I did this every day for a couple of weeks. Yeah. And she walked out of hospital with the use of a Zimmer frame in 12 weeks, and no one could believe it.
Was she feeling you as well?
Well, I'll tell you now, I was thinking to myself, did I do something? Didn't I do something? Is this real? Is this my imagination?
Yeah.
But then when she came out of hospital, she phoned me up and she said, Jerry, I woke up one night, I looked at the side of my bed and said, what are you doing here? So she saw me there, but I was in a different country. So I'm thinking, what is going on, man? This imagination stuff is more than what I was taught it was at school. It's real.
Yeah.
What you see, what you visualize, what you imagine is happening in another space, on another timeline.
So tell me now about the dimensions that you work with and the frequencies that you're bringing in.
So we work with a healing frequency that we call star magic. It's an extraterrestrial light frequency full of geometry, full of codes.
How did you get to that place from being a healer, though? That's the interesting part.
Well, what happened is shortly after this this healing experience where I was seen in this other hospital room, I was meditating in a friend's garden in a pyramid. And a little space pod comes and lands next to me.
Space alien being?
Like a space pod. I call it a space pod because it was small.
Uh-huh.
It was only big enough for two people. You couldn't fit anyone else in it.
And it just lands.
It's landed to the right-hand side of the pyramid. It was round, but the front of it wasn't completely round. It's a little bit kind of like a triangle, but a smooth triangle.
So it's with your eyes open?
Yeah, I was meditating with my eyes open.
Uh-huh.
So I've brought my light out of my body, and I've gone and jumped.
You knew how to do that?
I knew how to do that, yeah.
Uh-huh.
After the incident in the car crash,
right.
Around that time, I found my first spiritual teacher, and she taught me a lot of stuff.
So
you know, I used to go and see her for 3 years. I saw her three times a week for a number of years. Like, she took me into maybe 300 to 400 parallel realities.
Wow!
So she did a lot of past life regression work.
If you want to share, but you don't have to.
It's a lady who lives in England.
That's fine.
Yeah, she's one of those ladies that kind of remains anonymous.
That's
right. Yeah.
Great, you found her though, right?
Amazing that I found her.
Right?
Yeah, and we found each other.
So you see this little pod land near you. You bring your light out of your body and put it into the pod.
I walked up to it. I just floated up to the pod, got inside of it, and there was a being next to me, a blue being. Mm-hmm. I now know that it was a Lyran being, but at the time I didn't, because I'd never experienced extraterrestrials, mm-hmm. apart from that reptilian, and I didn't even know what that was. I just knew there was a green lizard. So this being tells me that its name is Derekwai. And then, boom, we're traveling through a tunnel of light for maybe 4 seconds, 5 seconds maximum.
Are you totally there, or is your body still meditating?
My body was
so
back.
You're in both places.
Yeah, I was in both places.
Right.
But I wasn't aware of my body.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was completely in this ship, like right. traveling through this tunnel of light. We've come out the other side, and we're over water. Mm. I've looked out, there's sea, there's sand in front of me. Behind the sand, there is like trees, like jungle. Mm. And there were hundreds of these blue beings.
Wow.
So I've got out of this space pod, walked up the beach, and I've never felt so much love in all my life.
Wow.
It was just like the most blissed out experience. You know, it felt like coming home.
These little beings had a lot of love. These
they weren't. They were big beings. They were taller than me. They were like 6.5 to 7 foot tall.
Uh-huh.
They had no hair. They're androgynous. They weren't wearing any clothes. They all had kind of like six packs. They were really fit and healthy. And when I was there, I was picking up information. Like I knew what they had, what food they ate, how they prepared it, that they could just manifest the food with their consciousness. All of these bits of information were coming into me. No one was telling it to me, but it was just filtering into me. And I spent a bit of time on the beach, not a lot of time. And then they kind of parted, like made a pathway. And one of the beings led me through. We went through the trees and they took me into this kind of like building, which was made by light. And the only way I can describe it is meeting their chief or their leader. I've gone inside. There's this blue being there, which looked ancient.
Mm-hmm.
And I've knelt down on the floor. And then this orange download of light started pouring into my head. And it was full of geometry. It was full of code. And this went on for a little period of time. Suddenly it stopped. They picked me up. They frog marched me back to this space pod. Frog marched me, like under my arms, like one either side. They just took me back there real quick.
Oh.
It was like they couldn't wait to get me out of there, or they just knew that I had to go back really quickly. I'm still not 100% sure why that happened.
Right. Maybe just to keep the download fresh or something.
Maybe, yeah. I was just taken back into this spacecraft through the tunnel of light, back in the garden, back into my body. And I was just like, what is going on, man?
That must have freaked you out a little bit. Like,
I was really excited.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was like, man, I want to do that again.
But you didn't even before this know that this was real.
And no.
Suddenly, like, a whole world opens up to
a
you.
Whole world's opened up. Yeah, it was amazing.
And then from there, what did you do with the frequency?
Well, nothing happened for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And I'm waiting. I'm thinking, you know, guys, come on, connect with me again. When are you coming back? When can I go again? But no one came to see me. I didn't get any information, nothing. And then suddenly I woke up one morning and I said to my wife and the children, we got to go back to England.
Mm.
And they're looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, you know, Dad, we set up a health and fitness center in New Zealand and it was going so well. And my ex-missus is like, you know, why do you want to go back? I'm like, I don't know, but we've got to go back.
Right.
So anyway, we in the end, I persuade them to move back to England. We come back to England. I'm out running one morning and I see some fairies flying around a tree.
Like light beings? Like
just little fairies, like, you know, just tiny little fairies with little wings, loads of them flying around a big oak tree in the middle of the street.
In England? In
England. No, in Cheltenham, which is where I was born and where we moved back to.
Right.
So I'm looking at these fairies and then I stop and this angel comes down and he says, my name's Archangel Gabriel, you need to write a book. So I'm like, okay, what have I got to write? He said, it's a book called Into the Light. It's about your story, your journey. So I run home, I open up my laptop and I just start writing and this book just comes out of me. So I published it. And then I realized afterwards, it wasn't about the information that I had to share with people, which has helped people, but it was more about what was happening to me during the writing of the book.
And what was happening to you?
I was channeling, I was connecting to a different frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Something was happening to me, something was coming through me, like naturally. It was writing for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I read that book back, it wasn't me that wrote that book.
So you like a channel now of that frequency?
Something like that. I mean, what happened after writing the book, I started to see code everywhere. And now, like,
what
I'm
looking. What do you mean by seeing code?
So now, when I'm looking around this room,
yeah.
If I look at that wall over there, there's code floating everywhere.
What does code look like?
So it's like, it's alive. You know, people talk about, like, sacred geometry. You've got flower life, you've got Metatron's cube, whatever it might be, a Merkaba, tetrahedrons. It's not like that.
Okay.
This is like some kind of code that is alive. It looks like it's always three strips in the middle, which like interweave with each other.
Do you copy this stuff? Do you write it?
It's in my book. It's in my book, Star Magic Heal the Universe.
If you look at the Claire, our friend here behind the camera, what do you see code on her?
I see her, but in front of her is codes, like traveling through, and the codes always morphing and shifting and
the
changing.
Codes are what kind of shapes? Like
so it looks to me, it looks like a parachute. Mm-hmm. It looks like a jellyfish.
So does that mean it's her energy frequency, or what?
No, this code is the information that's traveling through the ether always. Mm-hmm. It's got nothing to do with who's in the room. Oh. It's to do with what is traveling everywhere. This is the information that we can tap into. And I call it star magic. Uh-huh. Because this is, for a number of reasons, I call it star magic, right. Which don't really matter right now. Right. But this is just the name that I've given to the healing frequency.
What do we do with this code? So we see it and then what?
So what I do is I use this code to transform the reality patterns in certain human beings.
How would you do that?
Okay, so to give you an example, yeah. I just did a workshop downstairs a minute ago, okay. And I asked if anyone wanted to come up for a healing. And a lady came up and she had an issue, a disease that she'd had with her right leg for a number of years, and it was very, very painful. Right. So I put my hands on her body and I tuned into the frequency, asked the codes to come through me. Her head went back, she fell back to the floor, and then she's on the floor. Her whole leg's gone numb. So then I've tuned into the leg and I've tapped back and traced the trigger point. Uh-huh. Of the reality that created this problem, and it turned out that 8,000 years ago, she was a man. Uh-huh. In this reality, she's right. Female, and she betrayed her brother, her brother betrayed her, and something happened between them that knocked her confidence, and it stopped her moving forwards and taking action and stepping into her power. Right. And this is why her right leg, the masculine side of her body, was affected.
So you can bring code into anybody.
So we brought the code through, and the problem that was creating this reality of a bad leg, we took it out. Right. We used this code to create a new reality pattern where the problem was gone.
Right.
And that was it. Boom.
Are these Elirons working through you, or just
with these light codes? Yeah. Mm-hmm. These are Elirons light codes. I do work with Palladians as well. I've got like a Palladian that I work with called Rihanna. And she takes a lot of my clients onto her craft when we need to perform like operations that are quite serious.
Could you do this for people watching, or you have to have your hands on them? Like, could you?
No, I don't have to put my hands on them. So, okay, just take a few nice long deep breaths and just close your eyes. Or you can keep your eyes open. It's entirely up to you. And I want you to see an inverted platinum pyramid spinning over your crown, spinning clockwise really fast. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to place these codes into that platinum pyramid right now. So those codes are inside the pyramid. I'm going to open the apex of that pyramid now, and that light stream is going to flow out through the apex of that pyramid, down through your crown and into your pineal glands. Just allow it to flow whilst those codes flow down from the pyramid into your crown, into your pineal glands, and now they'll start to flow throughout your human body. And just allow them to work their magic. Cool, it's done.
So the thing that's great about what you're saying is anything that you see, it's a reality to you.
It's a reality.
You don't doubt it.
So a lot of my work, I mean, you know, quantum entanglement comes into this healing too. You know, if someone comes to me and says, Jerry, you know, I've got liver cancer, whatever it might be, I can't see that. It's not in my reality.
What do you see?
I see a completely healed human being. I have a different reality, and I make their reality my reality. So for example, someone could say to me, okay, I've got irritable bowel syndrome. And what I'll do is I'll tune into their irritable bowel syndrome, see where it kind of originated. I can turn their body or their internal large and small intestines into a truck engine, for example. So I can see where the truck engine's dirty. I clean the truck engine out. I take that truck engine out of their body, stick it into the other person's body with their irritable bowel syndrome, and that new clean car engine becomes their body. So you can just entangle that. That physical is straight away.
It's changed.
It doesn't have to wait.
Wow.
There is no past and future. Everything's now. We've got to get it out of our heads that things have to take time.
Right. No, I love this. I love this. So what are the ETs telling us now? Because we're at a point in our evolution. So what do we need to do to really be galactic beings to know that we're not isolated in a prison planet, you know?
It's simple. Two words. Unconditional love.
Okay.
You know, when you come back to the core of everything that we're doing, it's all bringing us back to the center point, which is unconditional love. Nothing else really matters.
No, I'm just thinking, the interesting thing about you is, how could you have told this, Jerry, what you know now to the one that, you know, was smuggling drugs and all that?
Well, if you'd have told me this to me 12 years ago, I would have told you were crazy and you were mad.
Exactly.
And not everybody's ready for this information. Uh-huh. You know, I speak to people every single week, you know, through the internet, through events. And the people that come and see me, most of them are ready for this transition. Not everybody is. I mean, you've just got to go out into New York and walk down the street, and you can see how everybody's infiltrated and still in this 3D reality. So all we can do as human beings is work on ourselves, raise our own personal vibration, come together as a collective group of humans that have raised our own vibration, and use that to amplify it.
Do you see this mass ascension happening for planet Earth?
Absolutely. 100%.
When do you see this?
It's already happening. We're going through it at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know? You go out into the streets, you go out into the parks, and if you tune in, if you're able to tune in, you can see what is happening. The underlying current of frequency that is traveling through the trees, the parks, the people, the dogs, the animals, everything is shifting. The code is different.
The code is different now.
The code is different. It was different than it was 3 weeks ago.
It was.
If you go back to 2013, halfway through 2013, a large crystal grid network came online underneath the Earth.
Right.
And this crystal grid network is penetrating our environment with really high potent frequencies that are completely rocking this planet. They're also coming down through the center of our sun. The center of our sun is a cosmic portal. A lot of extraterrestrial races, they come in and out of this portal to do deals with our government, you
right.
know, space programs, that sort of thing. But it's also an entry point for these frequencies to come through from the central sun.
Yeah, the great central sun.
The great
yes.
central sun. Exactly. These platinum frequencies are coming through, these diamond light code frequencies. And now there's a new frequency coming through,
which is
chromium.
Uh-huh.
Now, this frequency is so powerful. We've only used it a few times. I had a guy that came to me. He lived in Peru. Mm-hmm. He messaged me through the internet, and he said, "Jerry, my brain's expanded." Not my brain, my skull.
Yeah.
So he sent me a photo, and he's got this big skull. And I've tuned into him, and I've realized that what's happened is these light frequencies have hit him,
uh-huh.
and he started to turn back into an extraterrestrial.
Oh.
But his brain on the inside stayed the same. So he said to me, "Please, can you make my head smaller again?" So I've said to him, "Why don't we make your brain bigger?"
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to go that way. But he was like, no, because I don't like this big head. So I've tuned in to do the healing, and I've taken him to these healing pools underneath the pyramids in Egypt, mm-hmm. in fifth density. Mm-hmm. A team of light workers have come out. We've brought in this chromium frequency, and his skull shrunk again in about 3 seconds.
Wow.
You know, straight away, no rattling of the brain. He had his life back because he couldn't run. He couldn't sleep because his brain was pressing on his skull. So this is the power of the frequencies that are coming through now.
So what's your next evolution? You know, you've been through some incredible transformation. Where do you think you're going in this path?
So what I have to do, mm-hmm. okay, is I have to build healing centers, mm-hmm. spread around the Christ consciousness grid of the planet. Mm-hmm. Going back about a year, now about 18 months it was now, I was, Derekwai, the being that took me up on the spaceship, he came to me and he said, "You need to go and meditate on this hilltop in Cheltenham," where I lived, in England. So I've gone up there, I've started meditating, and the whole town, the whole city's disappeared. And this vision came in, and I saw the planet, I saw the Christ consciousness grid, and I saw all of these different healing centers spread around the planet. And he said to me, "These are healing centers."
Mm.
And I said, "Well, what are you showing me this for?" He said, "You need to build them." I said, "Well, if I build these, who's going to man them?" Mm. He said, "Well, you need to train people to heal." So I ran home, produced a training program, put it online, and it filled up in weeks.
Wow.
So within the first year, we trained up a few hundred people.
You did. What's the online thing that people can sign up to?
StartMagicHealing.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go to the website, and we do 5-day training experiences. Mm-hmm. We've then got a frequency upgrade, which is where we do planetary grid work. Mm-hmm. Like in July this year, we re-established connection with the main primary 13 stargates around the planet. Mm-hmm. And we also opened up 13 new stargates that have never been opened.
Wow.
And we worked with Lyrans and golden avian beings to do that. Cool. So they came in to support us, and that was heavy, mm-hmm. real heavy planetary work. It was strong, it was powerful.
Because it shifted everything on the planet.
Massively. Mm-hmm. Massively.
So do you have any of these centers open yet? Or
we've just found the first piece of land in Transylvania, in Romania.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just doing the due diligence, but we're probably going to buy that and build the first center there. It's not too far from where St. Germain had his mystery school.
Oh, really?
So the energy there is mind-blowing, man. I'm telling you, it's so powerful.
So are you starting to also channel the Pleiadians, the Arcturian beings?
I don't really like to use the word channel, but I connect with them.
Yeah.
I speak to them like I'm speaking to you.
Yeah. Do they have a special message for us, these beings?
The message is always the same. It's always, you've got to take responsibility for yourself. You've got to step into your own power, and you've got to live as brothers and sisters on this planet. you know, you've got to strip away this kind of illusory reality where we're all divided and we're different. You know, Americans and English people, or black, white, rich, poor, whatever it is. It's all a load of rubbish. We've got to see beyond that, go into our hearts, see the light beyond the physical form, and realize that we're one stream of consciousness. It's the only way we're going to make this world a better place.
Could you talk to the people that you used to work with about any of this? I mean, how could you get to them to shift their vibe? Can you kind of code?
You know, I've moved away from my whole old reality.
Right.
This journey has taken me. I've got two people in my life that I speak to from my old world. Mm-hmm. One is a friend that I used to go to school with when I was like 12 years old. And the other one is someone that I used to do a lot of business with criminally.
Right.
And we still speak as friends. And he understands what I do and he completely respects it, mm-hmm. even though he doesn't fully get it.
Right.
But he respects what I do.
So if the planet, though, can move to this place, we wouldn't need people to do those things anymore, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the whole planet is going through this process, and every human being on it. It's going to be a much more painful process for some people than others. Those that are eating clean, those that are, you know, eating vegan, those that are meditating, those that are doing qigong, those that are going out and cuddling trees and on this vibration and doing the inner work are going to find it a smoother ride.
Right.
Those that are still locked into this 3D reality, going to the pub, watching the X Factor on TV or whatever, is locked into this crazy like reality that keeps us small. Mm. They're gonna go through some pain.
So when do you think this shift will actually, you know, we're in it now, but when will it like settle down? When will like, okay, we're there?
I've been told it is around 2048 to 2050
mm-hmm.
is when things are going to really smooth out. Between now, 2025, 2030, we got some shit to go through, man, for not wanting of a better word, but a bumpy ride, man. But after that thing, we're going to start to come together as a human race and realize we've got to work in communities, and, you know, we've got to share each other's resources, you know, come back to this space where we live off the planet and we don't create products to sell to people or just to get money to fuel these crazy, luxurious lifestyles that don't give us anything.
The greed, corporate greed, it's finished. It's over.
Absolutely. You know, the banking system's got to come down to a grind.
Down.
It's coming down, man.
Cool.
There's beings working from the inside out to make that happen right now.
Well, that's why you're doing your work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
For your, excitement and passion, because your transformation will actually spark other people's. You feel that?
Always. I love you, brother.
Thank you for doing what you're doing. And it's a hard journey. That's a tough journey you went on.
I think for every human being on this planet going into this spiritual phase, it's always tough, because people think, oh, it's all spirituality, it's all like love and light and it's all beautiful and it's
not all that.
Yeah, it's not. It's like it's a powerful journey. It brings up your darkness. It brings up the stuff that you don't really want to look at, that everybody stuffs down into the closet. And pretends it's not there.
Do you still have some stuff you feel? Like,
absolutely.
How do you
You know, for me, my biggest thing is rejection. I was fostered and adopted as a kid.
Oh.
So this is a whole other story, but, you know, when I was a child, when I was about 1 month old, I was sexually abused by my foster mother.
You remember
mother.
That at 1 month?
I started to remember these things going back this year. My whole family was attacked. My daughter was dragged off a horse by two reptilians. Mm-hmm. They started to eat the inside of her womb.
Wow.
Whilst I was in Turkey, a reptilian came through the wall and tried to stab me in my kidneys. We had a big onslaught of stuff, and I started to remember a lot of stuff about it. What happened as I was a child when I got taken on to crafts to have my DNA kind of stripped out of me.
Uh-huh.
But this is a whole other story we could cover another time.
1 month you were sexually abused by
your
foster father, mother.
Mother. Yeah, so for me, like, women has been a really big thing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, up until recently, I've hated women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll openly say that, but I was beaten by my adoptive mother.
Mm.
She used to pull my pants down and beat me with a wooden ruler.
Mm.
My first school teacher, which was a woman, she pulled my pants down in the classroom and she smacked me,
so
made me cry.
How'd you...
I'm still healing it now, man.
But what are you doing to heal?
You know, you've just got to keep going into those wounds, and you've got to sit with them. You've got to work with them. You've just got to allow yourself to feel that pain and bring it up.
Mm.
You've got to go into the pain. You can't run from it. It's going to chase you down. You can't cover it up. It's going to burst out at another time.
So all that criminal stuff was a way of sort of covering up that pain.
I was venting my anger, my frustration, you know, all of that stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I boxed as well when I was younger. That used to take my frustration out of me.
But now you're doing healing and making people feel
better.
Yeah,
now I just travel the world on this frequency of unconditional love. And when I think back to where I was and where I am now, it's just, it's worlds apart.
It's a miracle, isn't it?
You know, it's a miracle. I can't even, you know, I don't like to use the word believe, but believe that I was even there.
Yeah.
You know?
From there that you would even be here.
Yeah.
It would be an impossible thing for a person back there to see.
If you'd have told me then that I'd be doing this now, I'd have thought you were completely and utterly wacky, you know?
Exactly.
I'd have wondered where the straitjacket was for you, you know?
I hope the whole planet has this type of awakening, because that's, I think, what we're moving into. A planet now that's so full of violence and war in 20, 30 years saying, we can't believe we did those things.
No. Absolutely, but even on that note, like violence and war, it is quite a good thing.
In what way?
Because it's showing people where we don't want to be.
Well, you know, we've done it for thousands of years, you know.
Absolutely, but I think it's really waking people up now. We're coming to a space now before this ascension. We're seeing like mass atrocities all over the internet. It's like really in your face, you know. And people are having to realize that this isn't the way to do things.
Well, how can people find you?
Go to starmagichealing.com.
Right, Jerry Sargent, I appreciate your honesty and, you know, about your whole life, everything you're feeling and even the out there stuff. It's like you're just as real.
We've got to be authentic, brother.
Yeah, and that's why I believe you said you have these experiences, because you're just as real with that as you are with your anger, hate, you know, past. And it's like, wow, he's talking about these ETs in the same way. So it feels like you're being as honest with all of it, because that's just what you're seeing.
You can't hide behind this stuff.
Right.
You know, you try and hide and make this stuff up, or, you know.
Make this stuff up.
It's just.
And this is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Thanks for watching. Go to my website, newrealities.com. Thanks, everybody.